My daughter just came back from China, and she was on a tour with the Concordia Chicago Wind Symphony, and they toured all over China, and she brought me back a gift. And the gift is little, tiny, miniature terracotta warriors. Isn't that the coolest thing? I got a terracotta warrior who's got a frown, and I've got a terracotta warrior who's got a frown, and I've got a terracotta warrior who's got a frown, and I got a sitting down terracotta warrior with a frown, and I got a horse, and he's smiling. These are so cool. I don't know if you know about the terracotta warriors, but there's a little inscription here in Chinese about who they are, and since I don't read Chinese, I will read it out of the English. In 1974, peasants were digging a well near the city of Jian, China, and they broke through the dirt into a pit where the scene before them was amazing. Scores of clay soldiers, but not this size, they were the size of full-grown men, filled the dirt before them. Little did they know that they'd uncovered the burial ground of the first emperor of China and his army of 7,000 life-size terracotta soldiers. The now famous terracotta warriors are from the Qin dynasty and accompanied the first emperor of China, Qin Shi Huangdai, to his burial. Shi Huangdai was a powerful ruler who united the warlords in China and unified the Chinese language and connected ancient fortifications into what is now called the ancient wall, the Great Wall of China. The terracotta army now boasts more members as archaeologists have opened other excavations which have unearthed more soldiers, bronze chariots, horses, weaponry, and other artifacts. The excavation site is so extensive that the Jian terracotta soldiers are called by many the eighth wonder of the world. And they are so cool. I just love them. And if you saw the movie, The Mummy, the third movie, The Mummy, there actually is a scene in the movie where they come to life and they create an army. Now, in our scripture today, we're going to look at the Old Testament story of Ezekiel, because Ezekiel calls forth out of dry bones a great army. But it wasn't an imagination to see how these terracotta beings could come to life because they're so lifelike. All 8,000 of them, none of them is identical. They all have a different angry expression. But what Ezekiel did is God took Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones. And he said, now, can you believe that these bones could come to life? And Ezekiel looked at the bones and imagined what he was thinking. So we're going to talk about Ezekiel this morning from Ezekiel 37. And what you got to understand is the story behind the story. Because when Ezekiel is in chapter 37, he has been talking for 36 chapters about how forlorn the nation of Israel is, because Nebuchadnezzar had come into Israel and had taken everybody out of Israel and taken them to Babylon. And they probably were never going to see Israel again. They were sold into slavery, and they were in slavery in Babylon. And then they got the news while they were in Babylon that the temple had been destroyed, that their homes had been destroyed, that everything they knew had been destroyed. Think of that. It was a horrible time. And so Ezekiel, it's in chapter 37, 11, this is what the people were saying. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, being the people who are in captivity, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. So 350 years before the terracotta warriors, before the first guy, the emperor of China, was this Ezekiel, and he's living in captivity in Babylon with people, no home to go, and everybody's saying, our hope is cut off. We've been cut off. Our God doesn't love us anymore. We are no longer a great nation. And folks, these people were in despair. They were in huge despair as a nation of Israel. Not only despair because they were in captivity, but despair because everything they had known, everything that they had loved, that they had left back home was all wiped out. Now, it is probably hard for you and I to imagine what it would be like to be living in despair. Because we live in a nation that is so blessed with so many things, you think, how in the world could anybody in the United States be in despair? I mean, we've got food on the table, we've got clothing, we've got housing, everything that we need in life. We are not a despaired people. So it's hard to look back at Ezekiel and say, what was it like to be in despair? But the fact is that just because we live in the United States doesn't mean that there aren't times in our life when people are truly despaired. Think of some of the people that you know, or maybe you yourself have lost a job. Or think about maybe you or somebody you know who's lost money in the stock market, and maybe you're getting ready for retirement and you're saying, I don't have enough money now to retire. That's disparaging. Think about the people who were living in Houston, and I've got family in Houston when Hurricane Katrina came in. No, what was the hurricane? Whatever hurricane that came in. My uncle, my wife's uncle, was living in Houston and lost everything. The house was completely flooded with water. Think about that. Think about that despair. Think about people who gave their money to a guy named Bernie Madoff, and then he took it, and now nobody knows where this money is. And some people gave lots and lots of money, and now they have nothing. There are people in this world today, because of sin and circumstances in this world, who are living in despair. And the fact is, Satan loves for you to live in despair. That's the world that he lives in. He wants people to have no hope, to be hopeless and despair, because that eats at you. And even for Christians, if you live in a world of despair, pretty soon Satan keeps knocking you and knocking you and knocking you to the point where you despair that there's even a God. Despair is Satan's playground. And despair is not where the Christian should live. And yet, even here in the United States, there are people around you, maybe even you yourself, who have experienced despair and hopelessness in your life. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is the day, as we read from the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit came, and as like tongues of fire sitting on the disciples' head, and they were so filled with the Holy Spirit that the people thought that the disciples were drunk. The Holy Spirit is a very, very powerful third person of the Trinity that we are celebrating today. But don't for a moment think that the Holy Spirit kind of magically showed up on Pentecost Day, 50 days after Easter. The Holy Spirit exists all throughout the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Genesis 1, it said that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. It was the Spirit of God that was there in creation. And the word for that Spirit is a Hebrew word called Ruach. And that Hebrew word Ruach actually is the word that was in our Old Testament lesson with the Valley of the Dry Bones. Because it wasn't just God and it wasn't just Ezekiel, but the Holy Spirit was there also. Listen to the words of Ezekiel out of his mouth about this amazing encounter when he went to the dry bones. Remember, the question is to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, being a very wise man, said, O Lord, only you know. And God said, well, I'm going to show you. So we read in verse 4, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to the bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise and a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And look, tendons came and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then the Lord says this. Then the Lord said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says to you. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these that were slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as the Lord commanded me, and breath entered them. And that word for breath is none other than the same word for breath that is the Holy Spirit, that ruach from God. And the breath came in, and the breath entered in, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast army. Here it is, Ezekiel, in the valley of dry bones, and the breath came from the four winds, and bone came to bone, and all of a sudden tendons of flesh came, but they were sitting there still like a terracotta warrior without breath. And pretty soon, God says to him, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the spirit. And so he did, and the spirit came and entered, and there was a vast army, much more powerful and exciting than the terracotta warriors that went with the first emperor of China. Huge, huge, powerful stuff. And the thing that you have to know today is that same Holy Spirit that was there at creation, the same Holy Spirit that was there at the dry bones that brought them together, the same Holy Spirit that was there with the disciples on that first Pentecost Sunday, that same Holy Spirit lives and breathes inside of you because you are a child of God. Because the Holy Spirit has come and entered you, because you've heard the word of the Lord. You've been baptized, and God's Holy Spirit has come into you. And because you have the Holy Spirit, whenever despair enters your life, you are never alone. Never alone. Even if you are alone in a prison cage somewhere, rotting away, facing death or something, God is with you, and God's Holy Spirit is with you, and He will be with you until the end of time. And folks, that is the great blessing of Pentecost. Not just the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, but that the Holy Spirit has always been part of this world. It was there at creation, and it is a very, very powerful Spirit. Before the Holy Spirit came in your life, spiritually, you were kind of like one of these terracotta warriors with a frown on your face. Or maybe this terracotta warrior with the frown on your face. But once the Holy Spirit entered your life, spiritually, He brings new life to you. New life that can never be taken away. New life that will exist in you forever. Because Jesus Christ rose on that Easter day. You'll be like this terracotta horse with a big smile on your face till the end of time. In Jesus' name, amen.